WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM, our new signal in Manchester. Great to have you with us on this first Kale & Company program here on WKXL. We're presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and Weed Family Automotive at 124 Store Street in Concord, serving the Concord area since 1995. You can call them for an appointment right now, 603-225-7988. And our first guest on Kale & Company, and I have to give him a great introduction because he certainly deserves it. Not that he needs any introduction, but a true Renaissance man, author, athlete, educator, entrepreneur, doting grandfather, neat dresser, swell dancer, loves kids, cats, and dogs. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. Also, by the way, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, the one and only Tom Raffio. And Tom, welcome. You are our first guest on WKXL's Kale & Company.
Thank you, Kenny. And is this our debut on radio? No, we have more experience, but I'm glad to be on the inaugural show of your sort of re-emergence out in the radio world.
That is true, and you are our first guest on this edition of Kale & Company, and we've shared many hours together on the radio in the past, and hope to do so in the future as well, and we have lots of things to cover today in the time that we have with you, Tom Raffio. But first, on a serious note, let's talk just briefly about the dental community and what the dental community learned during COVID, and what are some of the changes that were made that now have become permanent, and how did it change the dental industry?
Great question, and it is, of course, my core job. I do a lot of different things on several boards, but in the final analysis, my paying job is our oral health mission. So let me just take everybody back. So from March 16th through May 11th of 2020, the American Dental Association recommended that the dentists only handle emergencies. So for the most part, in New Hampshire, from March 16th of 2020 to May 11th, nobody was going to the dentist, and the dentists weren't working. But what we did during that period of time was a few things. We, one, gave dentists grants so they could keep their businesses operational, so when we were ready to come back, dental office would be open. And the second thing we did was start planning on giving our group customers, the employers that have dental insurance, premium relief, or contemplating premium relief, which we did in July, because what we didn't want happening was dentists getting opened again in May, but employers not being able to afford dental insurance. So we did all that. We worked along with other stakeholders with the governor's task force to develop protocols so going to the dentist would be safe. And, of course, I'm sure many people, if not everybody that's listening to the sound of our voice, has been to the dentist since COVID. It's safer than ever. You go in. There's no waiting. You know, at the height of the pandemic, they were taking your temperature, and they would shuttle you in. You'd get your teeth cleaned, your fillings, and out you went. So dentists and hygienists are actually experts in infection control because they've had to be that way really since AIDS, you know, in the late 80s and 90s. And so what COVID did was added a new layer of protection. They're wearing, you know, masks and gowns, et cetera. And it's safer than ever. And based on our claim statistics, people have flocked back to the dentist.
Wow, yeah, in record numbers.
In record numbers, just like the 67 Red Sox. They came out in record numbers.
They did.
But we have statistics which demonstrate that. And I was a little worried. Let me tell you why. I knew dentists and hygienists could do it safely. They were experts in it already. I wasn't worried about that. But I was worried with the body politics. That's just a fancy way of the people, again, whether they would be convinced that it was safe to go back to the dentist, because after all, the way COVID is spread is through, you know, spit, et cetera. So But I did op-eds. We did a lot of videos, a lot of articles saying that it is safe. And people have seriously flocked back to the dentist. We track the statistics, as you can well imagine, and we're definitely at pre-COVID levels. And I talk about this in my new book. How'd you like that segue?
Boy, I'll tell you, that was, I think you've done that before.
13 years of radio, you know, hosting my own show on another station.
We won't mention that, but the master of the segue.
And I don't mean riding between our two buildings. We actually have a segue at One Delta. And sometimes.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes information technology people jump on it when they're bringing stuff between the buildings. But essentially, we write about this. The book I wrote is called Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive. And basically, what it talks about is during the height of COVID, these activities that I've just described and how we were able to pull that off, giving back $27 million to the community, the grants to the dentists, as I mentioned, and premium relief to employers, and still have a very successful year. And it was all about planning for crises. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I planned for COVID-19, but we actually did do pandemic planning. And so we had built up our reserves, so we were in a position to give back to the community, get our employees safe, working virtually at home because of all of our great systems. We put in a brand new phone system, which allowed our customer service call center to take calls from home in a sort of a distributed way, which, in other words, you could always, anybody can take a call from home, but it has to be done in a group way, so the next available agent. So we had installed that. So we had planned for all that, which allowed us to, in effect, thrive, you know, during the pandemic, but give back $27 million to the community. So that book will be out in Gibson's in about a couple weeks.
And will you be doing an autograph signing at Gibson's?
Yeah, Michael and I talked, the owner, and right before the holidays, we plan to do that as soon as the books get back from the printer. I definitely want people to get it at Gibson's, but also the reality, we're putting it on Amazon, but we're using a local printer, which is Michael's preference when putting the books, you know, at Gibson's. So more to come on that. If you allow me to get on your show again, we'll get those details out to people.
Well, Tom, you are always welcome on Kale & Company. And again, it's Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive by Tom Raffio.
Inside story of how one company did it right. So it's pretty cool. I think, I don't want to brag, but the kind of the inner workings, different people don't realize it's sometimes hard to give money to the community because we're highly there's a lot of regulations.
Yep.
So we have to go through a board approval. We have to go through Department of Insurance approvals, et cetera. So how that all happened so quickly is described in the book. It's really the inside baseball of how to thrive during the pandemic.
And that's another segue.
This coming Saturday, Ken, I expect you to be there. It's the Granite State Baseball Dinner, which we have been one of the major sponsors, meaning Delta Dental, since 2007. And our great partners at the New Hampshire Fisher Cats, you know, rejuvenated what was then known as the New Hampshire Baseball Dinner. And really, since 2007, about $2 million has been donated to Children's Hospital at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. We've had so many baseball fans attend, so many very impressive people attend. And this year's, which is Saturday the 20th, and people can still get tickets. Just go on nhfishercats.com, and we'll get to see Pete Rose,
yeah,
Louis Tiant, Bernardo Carbo, also known as Bernie Carbo, Rico Petroselli, and every person related were involved with the 1975 World Series, which was the famous seven-game series that unfortunately the Red Sox lost in seven games. But it was a fantastic series, and some people say it's a series nobody lost. No, that was 67. But it basically rejuvenated baseball. people don't remember this, but like in the late 60s and early 70s, when sort of pitching was dominating the sport, it really did need some rejuvenation. And game six of the 75 World Series, when Carlton Fisk hit that home run that everybody's famous, you know, when he was waving at Fair, that kind of rejuvenated baseball. But that home run wouldn't have happened without Bernie Carbo hitting a three-run home run.
Correct. Correct.
Into center field after fighting off a pitch that he just barely fought it off. Otherwise, it would have been strike three. So it was a great series. So basically, if you think of Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon, we're going to have all of these gentlemen, people like Pete Rose and Rico Petrocelli and Louis Tion, kind of sitting around, and they'll be sort of discussing the series.
You know, I'll tell you what, Tom, in my humble opinion, I think that despite the fact that the Red Sox lost in Game 7, that was, from start to finish, the best World Series of all time.
Well, I think so. I think and the Red Sox had so many chances to win because they won the first game,
yep,
thanks to Louis. They had a lead going into the ninth inning of Game 2. And the Reds tied it and then end up winning. Then the Reds won Game 3, and that famous armbrister play at the plate,
yeah,
when he got in the way of Carlton Fisk. But then Louis Tiant was it Game 4 or Game 5? He pitched like 165 pitches,
yeah,
and got a complete game that got the Red Sox back into the series. And then, of course, they ended up winning Game 6 at Fenway, the famous Carlton Fisk home run. And then even Game 7, you remember, they had a lead, right?
Yes, they did.
And then Tony Perez got the sort of gopher ball, curve ball, lollipop pitch from Bill Lee, who had been using it pretty successfully during the season, but he racked that into the left field monster. At that point, there were no people sitting up there, which tied the game, and then we ended up losing the series. But great series. And remember, you know this, Ken, because you're an aficionado. I wanted to use that word, by the way. But, like, the Red Sox didn't have one of their best players. Jim Rice had been injured.
Right. Did not play in the postseason at all.
Vern Rule.
Yes.
Threw an inside fastball and broke his wrist. So that ended up meaning that Carl Yastrzemski had to move to left field, and he did fabulous. And remember, they had to play Oakland to get into the World Series, and he dominated the games from left field, literally. Remember, he threw out like Reggie Jackson at second, threw some for Campanaris at third, made some nice catches, and of course hit over 300. So basically, it's funny, Ken, we're showing our age, but I think we can recite the 75 series better than the 2021 series.
Well, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And between 67 and they put out an album, folks, for those of you who don't know, by the name of The Impossible Dream in 1967. And Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, can recite both sides of that record album that was put out. I think it was put out by Fleetwood Records,
Fleetwood Records. Yeah. Ken Coleman was the narrator.
Yeah.
He first did it on TV, and then they realized they had something going, so they created this big, huge record album. And particularly the first side of it was extremely well done and basically recited the whole season, including the great catch that saved a potential no-hitter by Yaz.
Oh, yeah. 67 was full of so many great memories.
Exactly. Ken Coleman had a great radio and a voice, and then there was Ned Martin. And then the second side, they had Jess Kane singing the Carl Yastrzemski song.
Yeah, no, it was...
Although Yastrzemski is a lengthy name, it would fit quite nicely in the Hall of Fame. How does that sound?
And it is in the Hall of Fame.
It is in the Hall of Fame.
Jess was just a little bit ahead of his time, that's all.
He was. Yeah. Because people didn't... I mean, 67 was really the first great year that Carl had, and who knew that you would get 3,000 hits and 400 home runs. So there was no guarantees he was going to make the Hall of Fame. Ultimately did with getting, 3,400 hits and 400-plus home runs.
Yeah, went in 89. Went in, ironically enough, with Johnny Bench. Two of the key components in the 75 World Series.
You think, did Johnny get in mostly because of that commercial with the spray paint?
He can hold four or five baseballs in his hand.
And I think one of his home run records was just broken this year, right?
Yeah, Salvador Perez, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We know this stuff. We know our stuff.
Yeah, we do. We try anyway. We try.
You couldn't steal on him.
Even if we don't, we have to say it confidently so people think we do.
But I do want to see people at the baseball dinner this Saturday night around 5 o'clock, go down to the Radisson. I just cleared this, actually, with the Fisher Cats. You actually probably will be able to buy tickets by going to the door, but I think the best way of doing it as people, listen to this Monday morning, just go on nhfishercats.com, purchase some tickets, and as I mentioned, you'll get to see Pete Rose, El Tiante, Bernie Carbo, also Dick Drago, who was a really good relief pitcher for the Red Sox that year, along with Jim Willoughby. And I think Darryl Johnson blew the series by taking Jim Willoughby outright and put in Cecil Cooper for a pinch hitter. Remember that?
I do.
I'm still not over that.
Still second guessing the manager. Yeah, there you go.
Guessing that, and I'm still second guessing the '86 Game 6 series too. But it's all been forgiven. We have four World Series. The only team in professional baseball that has won four championships in the 21st century. You knew that, Ken, right?
I knew that. But, we can't say it enough. So the fact that, Pete Rose is going to be there, and I think Pete Rose, I think at the time, said that, this is the greatest World Series that's ever been played. I think he said that at the time, during the series.
He did, and he also, when Bernie Carbo hit that home run to tie up the game in Game 6, as they were chatting together at third base, remember Pete was playing third base?
Yeah.
He commented, "Isn't this exciting?" It was just kind of like, it wasn't like, "Oh my God, we blew this game." It was like, "Isn't this exciting? The game's tied up." So I think he'll maybe make some of those points. We have made sure, so if anybody's worried about getting autographs, he has actually pre-signed his memorabilia. So, you've been to the baseball dinner before. While there can be some lines, everybody that wants an autograph from a celebrity will get it. It's very well orchestrated. So if you're a Louis Tiant fan, who is a really nice guy, by the way, I've gotten to know him over the years.
Yeah.
He and his wife make it there. If you want Louis' signature, you can get that. Bernie Carbo, who has written a book on his sort of life journey, he'll be there, and he can talk about his pinch hit, two on, two out home run. And then that eventually, as you know, that enabled Carl Fisk to do his thing in the 12th inning.
You know, Tom, I think there are people out there, very casual baseball fans. I mean, the Carlton Fisk home run in Game 6, the walk-off home run in Game 6 of the 75 World Series, probably, I would have to say, the most replayed home run in the history of baseball.
I think so, and that was called by Dick Stockton, right?
That's right, it was. And I think there are many people around the country who have seen that home run replayed time and time again. I think some people have the impression that was the Red Sox winning the World Series on that home run.
Exactly.
Obviously, it was not, but I think a lot of people have the impression that the Red Sox won that 75 World Series.
Exactly, and I know I've heard that because a lot of the Reds complain that everybody thinks that the Red Sox won that World Series when it was really the Reds. But it was quite a Game 6.
Yeah,
and of course, the Red Sox should have won Game 7. Or they could have won Game 2, and they could have won in six or seven games, but ultimately probably the better team won because, as previously mentioned, the Red Sox were actually playing without one of their best players, Jim Rice, who 3 short years later, you know, won the MVP of the baseball and ultimately made the Hall of Fame in his 15th year. Do you like how I get all that information?
I tell you, you pack it in, Tom, I'll tell you. But we have to take a quick break because we have to pay the bills here at WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and now our new signal, 101.9 in Manchester, covering Manchester, Goffstown, Bedford, all that area that previously did not have the opportunity to hear WKXL. We're presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive. Welcome back. It is Kale and Company, our maiden voyage here on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive. 124 Store Street in Concord, weedfamilyautomotive.com. And later on this week on Kale & Company, we'll be chatting with Dan Weed of Weed Family Automotive. But in our first program, it is Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. We've been talking about the Granite State Baseball Dinner, which is coming up this Saturday, November the 20th. And all you have to do to get your tickets, and some still remain, is log on to nhfishercats.com, and all the information is right there. And just an amazing lineup of people: Pete Rose, Louis Tiant, Bernie Carbo,
Rico Petroselli,
the great Rico Petroselli. He was a guest on our Feldis and Kale show just a couple of weeks ago.
I heard that show, actually, and he also, Rico, was nice enough to be our celebrity golfer in our Northeast Delta Dental Foundation golf tournament earlier this fall, a tournament that raises money for oral health needs of the underserved. So Rico's a great guy, very with it.
Yeah,
I think he still has his own national
radio
show.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking it was so good to hear your Granite State Dairy Promotion and the Weed Family Auto, because when we were together on another station, like, I lived for your read of the Granite State Dairy. I did. Like, my day wasn't complete until I heard you read that. And actually, you had memorized it, whereas when you allowed me occasionally to fill in, I mean, I had to have very detailed notes from the producer, but not you. You were like Granite State Dairy, boom, and the Weed Family Auto, of course.
And don't forget, mealtime is milk time.
Mealtime is milk time. Every once in a while, I would not quite get that right, and I was chastised, Ken, chastised by your former radio producer.
No, I know. He could be tough on you and a lot of people, but he just wanted you to get it right. That's all. Just wanted you to get it right.
And that's good.
We're talking about the great J-Dog, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mealtime is milk time. Amy Hall and I collaborated on that one, and Amy is a frequent guest here on the program as well, and I know they do a lot of work with Millennium Running, as do you, Tom Raffio.
Absolutely. Millennium Running, we are the major sponsor of the Delta Dental Points Chase Series. And Ellen, my lovely wife Ellen, is the number one woman overall. She's done every race, and she's fast, so that's a great combination.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I've done every race, and I'm slow. So I'm not near the top. However, I am second in my age group. But, yeah, Millennium's done a great job. Granite State Dairy's done a great job for not just the Millennium Series, but from other races that they sponsor. So it's great, you know, wellness. But back to the baseball dinner, someone had asked me offline, you know, is it really in person? Yes, it's at the DoubleTree Manchester downtown. The tables will be appropriately spaced. The auction will be available virtually like we did last year. And we did do the baseball dinner. We did it at the Dairy Studios. Mike Ramshaw, the general manager, and I and a few others were sort of behind the scenes watching the whole production, and we had different guests participate, you know, via Zoom or some other software. And it was interesting last year because we had Oil Can Boyd as one of the guests.
I remember that, yeah.
And he was funny, but when his turn was done, he didn't mute himself. And so he was having a vociferous discussion with his family. And poor Tyler, who was the MC, was trying to, casually tell him that, can you put yourself on mute? Whatever. Tyler did a great job. But we are back in person. It'll be safe. I've been to a number of events already at the DoubleTree Manchester Hotel for other events, and it's, well done. And I think people will, again, enjoy the fact that they're, one, raising money for Chad, and two, the Fisher Cats Foundation, which raises funds for scholarships for student-athletes and other students who are in need. So it's a great combination of, if you're a fan of baseball, but also know that your dollars are going to Chad.
Absolutely so. And this is a major event. The hall will be, as you say, it'll be socially distanced enough. And, folks are going to have a great time. And for a lot of people, it might be, their first time at an event like this following the pandemic, and a great time to meet these players and see them up close and personal. I don't know how you did it or how, and I know you work closely with Dave McCarthy and his group, but to get Pete Rose to attend. I mean, how did that come about?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, there is a steering committee that gets together really as the minor league season is winding down. It never ends for us. We start up and we start getting sponsorships, not just Delta Dental, but there are many, many other sponsors, such as Divine Milamed and some of the vendors that we use, Advisic Technologies, Eastern Bank, et cetera. So we do that, but part of that is there's a group, you mentioned one, Dave McCarthy, former state trooper, that is kind of connected with the Ted Williams Museum Foundation and just kind of has some connections. And people were able to land Pete Rose. And, of course, he's getting up there in years, right? So he's kind of like Yaz, closing in, on 80 or so. And we just want, we want to make sure it's safe. So we did have him pre-sign his memorabilia, but all systems are go. So yeah, that was a coup. And of course, we've always been able to generally get, Rico and Louie. And so they readily agreed. And I think Louie and his wife, George Katos, was telling me, I don't know, they've been married 60 years or something, a cute couple.
Wow.
And Louie is so funny because the way baseball is played now, where the starter on goes six innings, they just shake their heads with this stuff, because as I mentioned earlier, I don't have the exact numbers, but it was around 165 pitches, maybe it was 156, but complete game, and it was no big deal for Louie. And now once they hit 100, they're taking them out even if the guy's pitching a no-hitter.
But not Louis Tian. You talk
not
about
Louis.
That, that 165 pitch outing that he had in the World Series, and that was somewhat unusual, but not out of the ordinary for the times. But now, as you say, once you get to 100, man, it's a miracle that anybody lasts over 100 pitches.
Days. Yeah, and there must be some science behind it, but definitely. They just shake their heads, and then the old time relief pitchers like Goose Gossage. One of these dinners 4 years ago, I actually was able to sit next to him, and we were just kind of talking. But he used to get, he used to sometimes come in the seventh inning and pitch.
Yeah, sure.
Three innings to get a save.
Yeah, right. I remember him doing that, and lots of pitchers like Dan Quisenberry back in the day, and even before that, the monster, Dick Raddatz, used to have a lot of three-inning saves, too.
And a lot of wins. He was, Dick Raddatz, dearly departed several years ago, but one year he was 16-9, and one year he was 15-3.
For for bad teams too.
Yeah, exactly. But he and his ERA was like 1.98, and then right around unfortunately, right around 66, the year before they won the pennant in 67 and got good, his arm started to get sore, and he was never really the same. But for 3 years, if people go back to his statistics, he was probably the most dominating relief pitcher for a three-year period. Maybe in terms of all of baseball. If you hear a little noise in the background.
I did hear a little noise in the background.
And you know how I'm a doting grandfather.
I know you are. I know you are. You doting on your granddaughter right now?
Havana, who is turning into one wonderful young lady, turns three around Christmas, keeps me busy, has come to a number of races, is starting to race with us.
Wow.
But many times, this shows you how great a runner Ellen is. There's been several races where Ellen pushes her,
yeah,
carriage,
yeah,
still wins her age group, and still beats me easily by like 5 minutes. So,
well, that it doesn't surprise me, Tom. You know that somehow does not surprise me.
And she did the Manchester City Marathon, which was a great weekend of racing. It was like Saturday there was a 5K, and then Sunday was a half marathon or relay. I did the relay. I did the last 8 miles. So my pickup spot was the old women's prison in Goffstown, which,
yeah,
as you probably know, has been leveled. So there was a wide open field. So that was the spot where we connected. I took the bracelet off her ankle, put it on mine, and off she kept going because she was actually doing the full.
Yeah.
And then I did the just 8 miles. And even that 8 mile segment, like she beat me by like 15 minutes. So it's getting awful to live with her. You know what I mean?
Well, I understand though. She has been on the road at a national event,
yeah,
in recent days.
Yeah. So one of the things she's agreed to do is be an assistant coach at the NHSI Cross Country, who won their Yankee. They're in a small college division, Yankee division, and particularly the young men have a terrific team. They won their conference championship, and so they participated in the nationals over this past weekend, and did really well for a small college. She focuses on the young women who are on the team as well, and she really enjoys it, and it's really actually helped her running, because part of the being a coach is you run with the student athletes. So she was running with some really fast runners. It's really helped her as well. But it's helped her self-actualize. It's just a big word for feeling good about yourself. she's done great as a coach. And so she's back, thank God, because Havana's been exhausting me.
but you are a great doting grandfather. I know Havana's been at many Fisher Cats games as well, and so.
Yes, she owns the place. We get there, she walks around. And by the way, the Fisher Cats did such an outstanding job this year. I so enjoyed going to the games this year. And, of course, the other thing that happened during the pandemic back in 2020, when there was no baseball, Mike Ramshaw sort of did all the necessary pivots and did concerts and graduations. And, of course, one of the points I make in the book is that during COVID, successful organizations properly pivoted. So while Mike wasn't able to have games, they used the stadium really creatively for graduations. And of course, why not continue that? So in 2021, in addition to baseball, they did all those graduations. And it was,
yeah,
so logical, right?
Absolutely.
Like, why wouldn't you have graduations there? But until it became clear during the pandemic, we really never thought of it. And it's the same thing with our company. I mean, I'll give you a simple example. We have got great employees. We had two or three that, right around the pandemic, unrelated to the pandemic, they were going to have to move out of state, one to Arizona and one to Georgia because of aging parents. And, of course, you know, we were organizing goodbye parties and things like that. And then when the pandemic hit, for a few weeks, they had to work virtually before they moved. And, of course, they're working virtually from New Hampshire. And then, duh, remember that expression? Like, well, if they can work virtually from New Hampshire, they can work virtually from Arizona and Georgia. So we've kept them on, and they're fantastic. And it's as if they were, you know, coming into the office. So a lot of things, including you, we started the show talking about the dental office, but
right,
it's much more efficient. I know pre-COVID, I was always waiting and waiting when I went to the dentist. Now you're in, you're out, it's efficient, no one's waiting around, it's impeccable. And I think that can apply to all organizations that have learned things during COVID. If anybody's bought a car recently, to the extent you can get one, it's a much more efficient process as well. So that's what Mike did in 2020 with the Fisher Cats Stadium, doing concerts and graduations, and he continued to do that to the extent that it made sense, even though baseball was played in 2021. But I just had a great time in 2021 going to baseball, maybe because I missed it for the whole year, and seeing Fungo and so on and so forth. Of course, seeing you and your other half, it was wonderful as well.
And you know, we're very fortunate to have a facility like that, as well run as it is, and well kept up over the years in Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, and to have really the caliber of minor league baseball that we have right in our own backyard is really amazing.
People don't realize it, and I think they're starting to, because of everybody's heard of Vladimir Guerrero, but
right.
Vladimir Guerrero, several of the current Toronto Blue Jays, Biggio, they were in Manchester, you know, in 2019, right? I mean, playing right there.
No, exactly.
And I think people don't realize, yes, it's double A, but long gone are the days where you spent a couple years in double A and then two or three years in triple A and then make the majors. Now it's like, if you're good enough, which obviously Guerrero, as an 18-year-old, could have been playing in Major League Baseball, but
right,
instead he was at Manchester, so they had more years to protect his when they were in control of his contract. But anyway, but they go directly from Manchester to Toronto. So one day you'll see them in Manchester, and then the next year you might see them in Fenway Park playing against the Red Sox.
Yeah, really, they've produced a lot of players. Much of the Blue Jays starting lineup has at least played some in the Queen City. So, but you know, you think of Biggio and Bichette, and certainly MVP candidate Vladimir Guerrero, who's up there, could be the American League MVP.
Yeah, he looked good.
Year.
He lost a little weight.
Yep.
Plays first base. Now, since you mentioned '67, people may remember this, but Toronto was one of the minor league teams for the Red Sox.
Yeah, they were the AAA at the
AAA
time.
AAA affiliate, and the gentleman, Billy Rohr, who pitched almost the no-hitter against the Yankees, and I alluded to that early on. Remember Ken Coleman, the kid pitcher from Toronto, knocked on the Hall of Fame, meaning he would have been the only pitcher in Major League history to start his first game and pitch a no-hitter. Unfortunately, Elston Howard broke our hearts.
And who ironically wound up as a member of the Red Sox
right,
that very same year.
Yeah. Exactly. And as Ken Coleman said, he broke our hearts in April, but kept us going in September.
See, folks, I told you he could recite the entire two sides of the Impossible Dream album. I wasn't kidding. I was
exactly.
not kidding.
Well, when I impressed J-Dog, because J-Dog was testing me, remember?
I do.
And I would recite the line, and then he would play it. It was verbatim. Verbatim.
Absolutely verbatim. Absolutely. Well, Tom, it's always great to catch up with you, and don't forget the baseball dinner on Saturday. It's coming up. Before you know it, Pete Rose will be there, and Louis Tiant, El Tiante.
Bernie Carbo, Dick Drago.
Rico.
His nickname was the Black Dragon.
Right.
Manchester Downtown Hotel, 5 o'clock. You can get your tickets on site. Or, as Ken alluded to earlier, nhfishercats.com. I expect people to see there because, again, it's going to be exciting, and you're raising money for the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth-Hitchcock and the Fisher Cats Foundation. So, Ken, almost, congratulations on your new show.
Thank
you,
Tom.
Hope you allow me to get on again.
Oh, you will be on. You will definitely be on, and we're going to hopefully get the Friday Fun Bunch back one of these days.
I can't wait.
So,
can't wait.
Don't forget Tom's new book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive by Tom Raffio.
Yeah, go to Gibson's in about 2 or 3 weeks, and we'll take it from there. So it's and there's a lot of local flavor to it, including the running part of it. So I hope to see people there. Thanks, Ken. Congratulations on your new
show. Thank you, Tom. Thank you
so
much.
Take care.
Take care. Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental here on Kale & Company, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM in Manchester, 1450 WKXL. Welcome back. It is Kale & Company, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM, our new Manchester signal. We are presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord, serving the Concord area since 1995. Give them a call right now. Make an appointment. Bobby and Charlie standing by, 603-225-7988. And a reminder, you can listen to all of the terrific programming you might have missed or perhaps want to hear again on nhtalkradio.com. WKXL in the Morning with A.J. Kierstead. Beyond Politics, with many great shows there from Matt Robeson and two-time U.S. Representative Paul Hodes, The New England Take, Feldis and Kale in the Archives, In Touch, Artful Living, Press Pass with Chris Ryan, and Facing the Future. And plus, you can always stream WKXL Live on nhtalkradio.com. So keep that in mind and keep that radio with you. You can take us with you wherever you go at WKXL 1450 AM, celebrating 75 years of broadcasting excellence, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. More Kale & Company coming right up. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Great to have you along with us on this first Kale & Company show. We have a big week lined up for you. Some of the guests this week include Dan Weed, Weed Family Automotive, Tim Neverett. Name might be familiar to you. One-time voice of the Boston Red Sox, now one of the voices of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he has written a new book called COVID Curveball. And we'll be chatting with Tim Neverett this week as well. Brigadier General Don Bolduc will be with us, candidate for United States Senate. So looking forward to a great week of Kale & Company shows. And my good friend Jim Rivers is going to be with us. And we are going to reminisce about the 75th anniversary of WKXL. Jim spent a lot of time here on this radio station, a great member of the community, did Concord High School hockey games with the great Harvey Smith for over 30 years, I believe. And Jim and I will reflect on some of the great programming over the years right here on WKXL. Looking forward to that. And don't forget that WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and now 101.9 FM in Manchester, your home for Boston Celtics basketball. And the Celtics have a busy week coming up. If you're listening on Monday, they'll be playing the Cleveland Cavaliers at Cleveland. Wednesday night on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. Friday night, the Los Angeles Lakers come to TD Garden. So that means the arrival of LeBron James, unless he's hurt, sick, whatever. But we suspect that LeBron will be in the lineup Friday night for the Lakers and then Saturday, Oklahoma City. So four games coming up, and you can hear every Celtics game right here at WKXL with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell, great broadcast team. Thanks to our sponsors for making it possible. And we're talking about Weed Family Automotive, 124 Storrs Street in Concord, and Granite State Dairy Promotion, and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers.